15. Barbara Marx Hubbard. Barbara Marx Hubbard has consistently delivered a Promethean, New Age message in books and lectures since the early 1980s. Some of her statements are her own words, and others are dictated by spirits that Marx Hubbard calls higher voices, or the Christ voice. Inverted theology, we are gods. Marx Hubbard says, we are immortal. We are not bound by the limits of the body. She exults, we can create new life forms and new worlds. We are gods. Since we are gods, there is no need for Christ to save us. Instead, multitudes of self-saviors is what we are, for those who have eyes to see. Furthermore, Marx Hubbard's spirit guide told her, never again shall you have to return to the human condition. Henceforth you shall evolve consciously, aware at all times that you and God are one forever. The Christ, who spoke to Marx Hubbard, said, I, Jesus Christ, was simply a first example of what you all can be. Since very few could actualize their full potential during the last 2,000 years, I was deified and put above you. People worshipped me instead of actualizing themselves. Sixth, the Spirit said, I did not suffer on the cross and rise again on the third day to show you what I could do, but what you can do. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. That is my message to you. I manifest in time, but I am not of time. I am eternal and evolving. And so, you are eternal and evolving. Seven, as Barbara Marx Hubbard continued her intercourse with her inner teacher, she discovered that the teacher is herself. She said, all my life I have heard an inner voice, and I tend to write in my journal and call the inner voice my dearly beloved. In the last couple of months, the guidance from the dearly beloved is, I am you. Over a period of 6 weeks, I started to invite what I call my universal self to take dominion within the household of selves that I am. I have been experiencing an identity shift such that now I can say to you, I am the beloved that I seek. I am the universal human. The local self has learned that there is no gratification in a deep way except through union with me. Point one, this fall into solipsism is a spiritual calamity that many New Age devotees mistake for growth. Barbara Marx Hubbard's condition may be a foretaste of hell. As C.S. Lewis said, the characteristic of lost souls is their rejection of everything that is not simply themselves. After death, a lost soul has his wish to live wholly in the self and to make the best of what he finds there. And what he finds there is hell. 2. Marx Hubbard's view of ecclesiastical history is pure Da Vinci Code legend. She says that in the early church, they shared. They attempted to become Christ humans themselves. In these small circles, men and women shared Holy Communion as co-equals. They had a new story, a new sacrament, and a new expectation of the transformation of the person and the body to life everlasting. They radiated their ecstatic vision, and in the midst of a dying world, they attracted new life. However, they were soon to be taken over by Constantine, and it was at this point that they entered the power structure. The Gnosis, the deeper mystical knowing of our potential for conscious evolution, was driven underground. Point three, Marx Hubbard's inner voice gave her this view of the spiritual history of the Christian era. In the last 2,000 years, planet Earth has been filled with volunteer old souls who chose to complete their education in whole-centeredness by working on a planet with the twin defects of carnivorous behavior and forgetfulness of God. 4. Marx Hubbard's revision of the Lord's Prayer expresses her theology of self-worship. Our Father/Mother God, which art in heaven, hallowed be our name. Our kingdom is come. Our will is done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Leave us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For ours is the kingdom, ours the power, ours the glory, forever and ever. Amen. 5. Neil Donald Walsh's familiar spirit inverts the prayer in the same way, saying, here is my message, the message I would seek to leave with the world. My children, who art in heaven, hallowed is your name. Your kingdom is come, and your will is done, on earth as it is in heaven. You are given this day your daily bread, and you are forgiven your debts and your trespasses, exactly to the degree that you have forgiven those who trespass against you. Lead yourself not into temptation, but deliver yourself from the evils you have created. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. and Amen.1 are these New Age writers trading notes on the earth plane? Or are their spirit guides holding preternatural conference calls to coordinate their messages to humankind? In the New Age, there is to be a new Christ and a new religion. Jesus told Marx Hubbard, "The new order of the future will help emancipate Christ from the walls of the church to reveal him to be the potential in each man and woman on earth. Two, all religions will be as one as we transcend orthodoxy. The period of separate sects and dogmas gives way to the period of co-creative consciousness when everyone is attuning to the same pattern and is attracted to fulfilling their unique capacities to be universal humans." 3. Her view of the second coming of Christ and the planetary awakening is this: Christ, pure love and knowledge of God, Mary's Eve, human intellect. As the second couple, they reach the second tree and enter the second garden at the time of the second coming, when the Christ within the people of Earth awakens simultaneously in a planetary Pentecost. For the Christ Spirit told Marx Hubbard, "My message is, you are King of Kings, you are Lord of Lords. I have no desire to return to Earth in the role of ruler over you. That is a failure. That is treating you as a regressive child." 5. Marx Hubbard's higher voice says about God's judgment, "The second death is for those of you who cannot evolve by choice, due to some deeply seated error in your understanding of the nature of reality. The second death, for you, is a purification, an erasing of the memory of fear, through the shock of a fire. Your misery will be soothed, your fear turned to love, your cynicism revealed to be the defensiveness of a sensitive and hurting soul ignorantly protecting itself from God. The second death is your next step toward eternal life." 6. Like Alice Bailey, she considers the material world to be a prison and looks to a hierarchy of ascended masters. She says, "We will soon be released from the fleeting imprisonment of mind by the material world." 7. To foster spiritual evolution, her spirit guide says that we should call upon the full hierarchy of evolved beings to be with you now. 8. The entity adds, "Your highest spiritual beings, even now, are telling you that each of you has access to an inner teacher. They tell you that through a process called initiation, you can transform yourself into an ascended master." They speak of the hierarchy of evolved beings. 9. Regarding the devil and the fall, Marx Hubbard says, "Adam and Eve were symbolically the first couple. They joined the masculine and feminine together and made a whole being, wherein they reached the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and separated from the animal world. To reach the tree of life, to have access to the powers of creation, each person must become whole, uniting the masculine and feminine, the yang and the yin, the rational and the intuitive. The serpent symbolizes an irresistible, sick energy that is leading us toward life ever evolving. First, the serpent tempted Eve to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It attracted her beyond the animal/human world, which knew no separation from the Creator. Then self-awareness came. We felt alone, different, afraid, guilty, incomplete. We forgot our Creator. We listened to inner voices, urging us to do more, be more, become more. The hunger of Eve awoke to reunite with God. 1. Jesus told Marx Hubbard to forgive Satan for fearing God. "Love Satan, my fallen brother, and do not let him make you reject God anymore." 2. We are to similarly excuse Cain. "Forgive Cain, he knew not what he did. He was as a child, hurt by his father unwittingly." 3. Marx Hubbard appears to have embraced a spiritual variant of social Darwinism. Evil will appear to destroy, and indeed it will. It will destroy all those who cannot attune to the design at its coming stage, for life is future-oriented. Nature is less concerned about individual survival than with the evolution of the whole to ever higher degrees of freedom, union, and consciousness of God. For she assigns the devil a key role in evolution. Evil, the devil, is evolution's selection process that constantly weeds out the weaker from the stronger. It is the steady pressure of the forces of destruction, disintegration, descent, decay, devolution, and death which test every body every instant of every day for weakness. When its pressure penetrates to a weak spot, it corrodes with the almighty force of God, destroying that which cannot endure to evolve. New morality, from the womb to the tomb in the New Age envisioned by Marx Hubbard, contraception, abortion, sexual identity confusion, rampant divorce, and euthanasia will prevail. She said that in the new age, contraception becomes perception. Every child born is chosen, wanted, and adored. Birth defects are a nightmare of the past. 6. Your adolescence will be a joy. You will be androgynous. 7. You will choose to create another being only on very special occasions when the whole community of natural Christs sees the requirement. 8. The breakup of the 20th century procreative family structure is a vital perturbation needed for the breakthrough of the 21st century co-creative family structure. 9. Fidelity of the partners is to each other for the sake of their chosen act, whether it be a godly child or godly work in the universe. When the act is completed, the partnership is renewed if there is more to be done. It is lovingly ended if there is nothing more to be created by that particular couple. Each discovers the next partner or partners with no hint of sorrow, for nothing is separated among those totally connected with God. 10. But if members of our family choose to remain where they are, we have no moral obligation to suppress our own potential on their behalf. In fact, the suppression of potential is more immoral than growing beyond our biological relationships. And to end it all, there is suicide. Unchosen, involuntary death is surely a tyrant. Disease is a dictator. It is obscene to imagine a universal human suffering from death by cancer or heart disease, like a helpless animal. The dignity of humans requires death and life, by choice, not coercion. 1. Those who have more to create choose to live on until they are finished with their work. When we feel that our creativity has run its course, we gracefully choose to die. In fact, it seems unethical and foolish to live on. When we are old and tired of life and do not want to live on, we learn to die by choice, as some native people do. 2. Marks Hubbard says that such would be her own choice when the time comes. It is my preference that, when I feel complete with this life, I call in my beloveds, my family, my friends. In a momentous celebration, I will prepare to enter the mystery of the next phase of life and seek the blessings of those I love. I choose to make my transition gracefully. The coming selection of mankind. As if the foregoing inverted theology and praise of the culture of death were not bad enough, Barbara Marx Hubbard calmly envisions a coming lethal selection of the human race. In 4 different books written over a 15-year period, The Revelation, Alternative to Armageddon, Happy Birthday, Planet Earth, The Revelation, A Message of Hope for the New Millennium, and The Book of Co-Creation, Barbara Marx Hubbard has predicted personal extinction, 4 for people who will not get with the New Age program and claim their co-creative power. Either the good will prevail, connect, link, and magnetize the majority of humanity to act with love for life everlasting, or the violent selection of the self-centered will begin. 5. There will be an evolutionary selection process based on your qualifications for co-creative power. A quantum transformation is the time of selection of what evolves from what devolves. The species known as self-centered humanity will become extinct. The species known as whole-centered humanity will evolve. 6. The selection process will exclude all who are exclusive. 7. Had you believed that evolution was a random process? Think again. In her 1980 manuscript, The Revelation, Alternative to Armageddon, Barbara Marx Hubbard's spirit guide proposed the destruction of 1/4 to 1/2 of humanity. It said, out of the full spectrum of human personality, 1/4 is electing to transcend with all their heart, mind, and spirit. 1/4 is ready to so choose, given the example of one other who has made the commitment. 1/4 is resistant to election. They are unattracted by life ever evolving. Their higher self is unable to penetrate the density of their mammalian senses. They cannot be reached. They do not ask, yet they are good. They go about their business, eating, sleeping, reproducing, and dying. They are full-fledged animal/humans. 1/4 is destructive. They are born angry with God. They hate themselves. They project this hatred upon the world. They are defective seeds. The entity adds, now as we approach the quantum shift from creature human to co-creative human, the human who is an inheritor of godlike powers, the destructive 1/4 must be eliminated from the social body. 1 disconnected human, driven by an ego substituting for God, can hold the whole world in ransom. A single terrorist can now destroy a city, contaminate its water, spread poison gas in its air, unleash bioorganisms that cripple bodies with no compassion or care. Soon a single terrorist can wreak havoc everywhere through capture of one of your forthcoming manned orbiting platforms in space. Before this stage of power can be inherited by the God-centered members of the social body, the self-centered members must be destroyed. There is no alternative. Only the God-centered can evolve. Only the good endures. Point one, the spirit guide told Marx Hubbard in 1980. Fortunately, you, dearly beloveds, are not responsible for this act. We are. We are in charge of God's selection process for planet Earth. He selects, we destroy. We are the riders of the pale horse, death. We come to bring death to those who are unable to know God. The riders of the pale horse are about to pass among you. Grim reapers, they will separate the wheat from the chaff. This is the most painful period in the history of humanity. Two pronouncing the doom of half of mankind, the familiar spirit told Marx Hubbard, before the book of life can be opened, the selection process must be made so that only the God-conscious receive the power of co-creators. We will use whatever means we must to make this act of destruction as quick and painless as possible to the one half of the world who are capable of evolving. 3. Note that the entity says that the act of destruction will be as quick and painless as possible for the survivors. It says nothing of what it will be like for the victims. In 1993, Marx Hubbard repeated that mankind will not be in charge of the selection. There will be a selection process not of our own doing, which will decide what is capable of taking the next step of evolution and eliminating what is destructive and unworthy of continuation. For the reaper is the harvester, the evolutionary selection process that separates those mutations which are favorable from those that are unfavorable. This selection process is not of human origin. It is the divine universal intelligence that has been operative for billions of years. It is difficult for us to understand this at our immature stage. There are many forces of the larger system at work which we do not yet understand. 5. Satan stands for separation from God. He is always probing every weakness to test for willingness to accept the illusion of separation. He is part of the selection process that will weed out the non-believers from the believers, that will bring forth the self-elected from the self-rejected, so that when the tribulations are over, only those connected to the whole survive. 6. In 1995, Marx Hubbard said that the four horsemen of the apocalypse wait, holding in abeyance for one more instant the dreadful process of selection. The white horse and the conqueror of creature slash human nature, the red horse and the power to kill, the black horse and the power to destroy those who are in deficiency. The pale horse upon whom sits the rider called death, poised to kill those who choose to remain self-centered, with sword, one with hunger, with death, and with the beasts of the earth. All are at the gate, ready to let loose the mighty force. 2. For Marx Hubbard, the coming selection is a necessary part of evolution. Those who do not evolve, those who do not believe in the potential for transformation, will pass away forever from this strand of evolution, an extinct species like the dinosaurs. 3. Those who are not sufficiently educated to align with the design experience God's purification process as long as necessary, until they learn how to know God or the intention of creation experientially. 4. All who choose not to evolve will die off. Their souls will begin again within a different planetary system, which will serve as kindergarten for the transition from self-centered to whole-centered being. 5. At the time of the quantum transformation, all those humans capable of cooperating to self-transcend will do so. All those elements remaining in a state of self-centeredness, maintaining the illusion of separation, will become extinct. Only that spectrum of human consciousness freely able to attune to the whole and hear the inner voice for God, sick, will survive. Just as Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal humans became extinct, so will selfish humans. This is necessary, for their temperament is not viable. 6. Like the totalitarians of the last century, Marx Hubbard refers to undesirable humans as elements and forecasts their elimination. Marx Hubbard says that those who are selected out will never be reincarnated on Earth. The second death is final as far as Earth is concerned. The soul can learn elsewhere in the universe. When it is ready, it will choose a planetary system at the right stage for the education it requires. 7. She adds that at the great period of selection, the self-transcenders will transcend and the non-transcenders will descend, devolve, and die to this particular planetary experience. Self-centered beings cannot survive in a synergistic world. 8. Barbara Marx Hubbard praises John Spong, the retired Episcopal Bishop of New Jersey, as a reliable interpreter of the Bible. 9. He's the bishop who wrote in 1998 that theism, as a way of defining God, is dead. 10. Her chatter about the coming violent selection of the self-centered. 11. Provides an ominous backdrop to Spong's statement that the next generation will not be a time for the Christian church to practice business as usual. Those who settle into such a path will be voting to die. 12. With similar rhetorical violence, a supporter of liberal revisions in the traditional teaching of the Episcopal Church said in 2000 that conservative bishops who threatened schism were nothing more than ecclesiastical terrorists attempting to hold a gun to the head of the church. He noted that the international community long ago decided that there would be no negotiation with terrorists who threatened to blow up an airplane if they do not get their way. This is no different. One indeed, and we all know what is usually done with terrorists. Execution or life in prison, if the terrorists survive long enough to be tried and convicted. Survivors of this selection will be enthusiastic supporters of the whole emerging system. As Marx Hubbard says, only those who have elected to use their powers well in their lifetime will be resurrected and reincorporated with genetic code and memories intact. Their bodies will be rematerialized. This is a universal law. Only the good evolves, good meaning that which is capable of aligning with the whole emerging system by attuning to its overall design. 2. Marx Hubbard says that the good which may be selected to proceed onward to the next step of evolution will possess the characteristics which will be essential for survival at the next stage of human development. 3. These are: 1. The capacity for universal consciousness in consistent attunement with the patterns in the process of evolution. 2. Love of freedom, the capacity to tolerate expanded choice, diversity, flexibility, ambiguity, uncertainty, responsibility, and responsibility. 3. The capacity to cooperate, unite, synergize, and love everyone as a member of your body. Universal consciousness, expanded freedom of choice, love of unity and diversity appear to be characteristics of ourselves at the next stage. 4. The inheritors of Marx Hubbard's new kingdom will pass all the current tests for political correctness. The only way to prevent this selection would be for a critical mass of humanity to embrace New Age thinking. Marx Hubbard's spirit guide tells her and her allies that what the angels are waiting for, dearly beloved, is you of my new order of the future. You represent the possibility of the avoidance of the painful process of selection, which means the destruction of the self-centered who cannot inherit the powers of co-creation. 5. In other words, if enough of us accept the godlike powers of co-creation, we can awaken into planetary consciousness and avert Armageddon. Atom bombs and conscious evolution. In 1995, Barbara Marx Hubbard wrote that the nuclear explosions of 1945 were an evolutionary turning point for humanity. I saw the explosion of the atomic bomb as the beginning of our collective labor pains. It was the signal that the cosmic child, humanity, could either kill itself by remaining in self-centered consciousness in the womb of Earth, or instead emancipate itself for universal consciousness and action. 6. 3 years later, in Conscious Evolution, Marx Hubbard emphasized the point. An irreversible shift toward conscious evolution began in 1945 when the United States dropped atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki. With this dreadful release of power, we penetrated one of the invisible technologies of nature, the atom, and gained the power that we once attributed to the gods. 7. Like Alice Bailey and Teilhard de Chardin, Marx Hubbard writes with glowing optimism about mankind's destiny once we have learned to use our new godlike powers. Barbara Marx Hubbard has said that the new age is imminent. We are at the threshold of a quantum shift in consciousness and action. We need just one more degree of connectedness to light up and link up the new world emerging in our midst. 1. In 1998, she expressed hope that the new age would begin by 2008. I do believe that within the next 10 years we can discover and commit to an evolutionary agenda. I believe we will have had a global awakening and will begin consciously and ethically to use our vast collective powers for the evolution of our species. 2. Since then, Marx Hubbard has extended the schedule for the arrival of the new age. She now hopes for a planetary Pentecost, a planetary birthday party, by 2012, which, as her interviewer for a New Age radio program noted, is an apocalyptic year according to the Mayan calendar. The new order, the next stage of individualism, Marx Hubbard also offers prescriptions for a new political order. In the new age, collectivism will be the new individualism. Conscious evolution calls upon political leaders to move us toward a synergistic democracy that considers each of us as creative members of the whole community and ecology. We need to be guided toward the next stage of individualism. Conscious evolution sets the stage for the next phase of individualism, wherein we seek our uniqueness not through separation but through deeper participation in the whole. For constitutional, limited government will also end. As we graduate one by one, then finally collectively transcend the illusion of separation, we will go beyond the Constitution as an external document to the Constitution as an internal document that is written in the consciousness of every co-creative person who is attuning to the evolutionary design. Barbara Marx Hubbard and Theosophy. Barbara Marx Hubbard closed a section of her 1998 book Conscious Evolution thus: "When asked what I choose to be the outcome of the book, my answer is that it served the fulfillment of the plan. May light and love and power restore the plan on earth. That is my prayer." Six, with this statement, she shows the influence of Alice Bailey's Theosophy on her work. The prayer that Barbara Marx Hubbard uttered is the final verse of The Great Invocation, a theosophical prayer written by Alice Bailey and still published by the Lucas Trust. Point seven, the entire prayer is this: "From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth." Regarding the Great Invocation, Alice Bailey said, "This new invocation, if given widespread distribution, can be to the new world religion what the Lord's Prayer has been to Christianity and the 23rd Psalm has been to the spiritually minded Jew." 2. Regarding the origin and purpose of the plan, Bailey says, "What you call the plan is the response of the hierarchy to the inflowing purposeful will of the Lord of the world. Through Sanat Kumara, the Ancient of Days, as he is called in the Bible, flows the unknown energy." 3. World Goodwill, an educational group associated with the Lucas Trust, explained the meaning of the Great Invocation's references to the plan. "To bring in the new day and the human well-being which is our heritage, we do not need a further appraisal of the world condition based on a particular ideology or point of view. Rather, we need a deeper sense of reality based on spiritual values and a new perception of humanity as a unit of divine life within an ordered and purposive universe." There are six recognitions that can provide a basis for this deeper understanding. 1. Humanity is not following a haphazard or uncharted course. There is a plan. This plan has always existed and is part of the greater design of the cosmos. The plan has worked out through the evolutionary developments of the past and because of the special impetus given it from time to time by the great leaders, teachers, and intuitives of the human race. 2. There is an inner spiritual government of the planet, known under such different names as the spiritual hierarchy, the Society of Illumined Minds, or Christ and His Church, according to various religious traditions. Humanity is never left without spiritual guidance or direction under the plan. 3. The widespread expectation that we approach the age of Maitreya, as it is known in the East, when the world teacher and present head of the spiritual hierarchy, the Christ, will reappear among humanity to sound the keynote of the new age. 4. There are millions of mentally alert men and women in all parts of the world who are in rapport with the plan and work to give it expression. They are people in whom the consciousness of humanity as one interdependent unit is alive and active. They regard the many differing national, religious, and social systems in which they serve as modes of expanding human consciousness and ways by which humanity learns needed lessons. Their primary function is, through their living example, to give humanity a new and better vision of what life should be. 5. The heart of humanity is sound. Our era is notable for the growth of goodwill and altruistic endeavor. All the crises, wars, and catastrophes of the 20th century have been unable to crush the human spirit. 6. The plan for humanity is based on the principles of sharing, cooperation, practical brotherhood, right relationships between all people and between nations, and goodwill in action. Point one, the open question is, how much of the rest of the teachings of Alice Bailey does Barbara Marx Hubbard uphold? A well-connected futurist, Barbara Marx Hubbard is active in the New Age Network. She is an avowed admirer of Neil Donald Walsh, praising his understanding and brilliant ability to communicate widely and broadly to masses of people about this work. 2. Walsh, whose New Age books have been on bestseller lists since the mid-1990s, has returned the favor. He describes Barbara Marx Hubbard as a breathtaking visionary and a brilliant conceptualizer whose insights astonish and excite the human heart, and so, are sought after everywhere. 3. Walsh's spirit guide said in 2004 that at times, I speak as her, and at other times, that Marx Hubbard speaks as me. 4. In the Revelation, a message of hope for the new millennium, Marx Hubbard listed some colleagues and teachers of conscious evolution. Sri Aurobindo, Peter Caddy, Norman Cousins, Dwayne Elgin, Matthew Fox, R. Buckminster Fuller, Stanislaus Grof, Willis Harmon, Hazel Henderson, Jean Houston, Timothy Leary, John Mack, Abraham Maslow, Robert Mueller Sick, Michael Murphy, Theodore B. Roshuk, Peter Russell, Rupert Sheldrake, David Spangler, Brian Swim, Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, Michael and Justine Toms, Terry Cole Whitaker, and Gary Zukav. 5. Marx Hubbard also referred to Matthew Fox's The Coming of the Cosmic Christ as a vision of the living Christ that connects us all. 6. She also keeps company with other prominent people. In 1984, her name was placed in nomination for the vice presidency of the United States at the Democratic National Convention. 7. Marx Hubbard is one of the directors of the World Future Society, along with Robert McNamara, formerly the U.S. Secretary of Defense and President of the World Bank, Maurice Strong, who was Secretary General of the UN Conference on Environment and Development, and scholars from Georgetown University, George Washington University, and the University of Maryland. 8. With colleagues and friends like these, Barbara Marx Hubbard can't be dismissed as a fringe writer, however bizarre and perverse her teachings are.